All right. So as we ended the class on Wednesday, we were wrapping up giving, and we were looking at this idea of, or we spoke about men that we support, and we were just about to look at Nehemiah 13:10. So let's read that. Nehemiah 13:10. Says, I also discovered that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, so that the Levites and the singers who performed the service had gone away, each to his own field. So we see here this idea that they had to go to their own field. Now, we were talking about those or these men we support that they count on us. Now, I know this is talking specifically about Levites, but remember that in this same idea that these Levites were supposed to be supported by the giving or by those that gave, and they weren't able to do this. They were having to go to their fields, so that takes away from their duties. And in the same way, if we think about these men that we support, if in our giving, well, number one, like we looked at in the last class, the giving should be already as we have purposed. But if we're not giving as we have purposed, that could be one of these same end results. So these men that we're supposed to be supporting, they might have to put their focus elsewhere as far as trying to support themselves when they could be focusing on studying and things of that nature. So just things that we need to think about as we give. That's pretty much all I had for this section, for giving. Are there any thoughts or comments or anything that y'all want to mention before we go into our review? Because this is going to end our class, and then we'll just kind of review over some of the things that we've looked at throughout the class. So do we have any thoughts or comments on this?
About the giving, it's a to me, the way I look at it, it's a privilege that we have the opportunity and you know, it's a blessing that God's given us. We have the blessing that we can take care of our family and still give to help others, you know, to help spread, you know, to help other preachers in other countries who probably don't have what we have here. And that is a blessing, and that's an opportunity that we have, that we can do that.
Okay. And that we can have a share in the work that they do with our blessings.
Yeah, I don't think of it as... it is a duty, but I don't think of it that way. I think of it as...
Well, and that was one of the points in, I think, 1 Corinthians, where as far as being cheerful, you know, not grudgingly, and we should want to have a part in that. Rocky, you had a point there. Comment?
Yeah, it's a couple of points. We were talking about tithing, about what the Israelites had to do back in the Old Testament. You mentioned about 10%. It came to my mind that when we think about what the Israelites had to give, we consider, again, they gave a tenth. Mm-hmm. They had all the sacrifices, they had a harvest, they had slaves, they had to return them. So when you actually consider how much they really gave, I mean, it was a lot more than 10%. I could easily say it'd be 15-20%. So.
Okay.
Even though we're not under that law, I mean, the amount they gave is pretty substantial.
Okay, and that's something we could definitely look back at and think about, and you know, so when we're deciding what we're wanting to give, did somebody else have their hand up? No?
Another.
Or you, did you still have another point, Robbie?
That's right. Go ahead. Another
way to look at it, like Donald said, way to look at being a blessing is that we're able to give. My parents always said that the Lord enabled them to give because they were at a point in their lives early on, well, they had to be on the other end. And they said, as long as the Lord enabled them, they counted very much a blessing to be able to help others, because, and the Lord says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Well, when you're on the other end of that, it's just, it's so much a contrast. When you're able to give, it's so much more blessing than when you haven't been there. That's not, it's, you know, it's pleasant when you have to be able to be on the other end, as people having to give to you. So it's so much more blessed, and it's helpful to you to be able to give to others. And that's so much more blessing, you know, because it helps you, it helps them, and it's just, you know, you're trying to help, you know, others, and it's just so much more. So I think I'll express it, but it's so much more.
Okay. Rocky, what was your other point, sir?
In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we talked about this, and I want to go back and look at it. The last verse that we talked about is in one of your lessons. It says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now that we talked about what is this indescribable gift that's being referred to there. And if you back up to verse 13, you have Paul's telling the Corinthians about their giving, what it will mean to the people they're giving. And he says in verse 13, because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ. And so then it comes back, this indescribable gift. And in fact, there it's talking about Christ.
Right.
And so the point here is that, you know, we're giving, and they were to give to show, you know, that they supported the gospel, and we are to be thankful for the gift that we have in Christ. It's indescribable.
Right, because that should, because of that, our attitude should be one of thankfulness and want to be a part of that, and be a part of spreading that or having a share in that as far as others learning and coming to the knowledge of Christ. Are there other thoughts or comments? Or? No? Okay, well, let's go into review then. So the remainder of this class, and then so Wednesday is the last class, so we'll be reviewing on these days, or those days, however you want to say that. So when we first started our class, in the very beginning of this material, we looked at three things about worship. And these things are important to worship, regardless what type of worship we're doing. Okay, and what I mean by type are the different aspects of worship. So, what were these three things that we spoke about that we looked at in the very first class?
What is worship?
Okay. So we had, what is worship? That was first class. What was another thing?
When.
Or who and why?
Oh, yeah, them.
Who and why? And then the last one was?
How.
Okay. So we have what is worship, who and why we should worship, and how we should worship. So what is worship? Do you remember what word or words were used in place of this word worship, or with this word? Okay, serve was a lot of the ones we looked at. We saw this idea of worship as serve, and there was also other words.
Okay,
walk after, go after. We saw the idea of do.
To bow down.
Okay, we did look at bow down. We also saw follow. And also, if you remember in Matthew 6:24, we saw this idea of it being as devoted to. So we see this, what worship is. Okay, I think we understand this idea of what worship is. But who and why? Okay, if we understand what worship is, who and why should we worship? Okay, who should we worship?
God.
Okay.
Because he's worth.
Because he created.
Okay, his worth, his worthiness. He's the creator. Okay, we've looked at in Psalms. We see a similar idea. Psalms 29:2, and also in 1 Chronicles 16:29. That we looked at in class, this idea that ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due His name. Okay, so this is due to Him. And also, one, you had just mentioned it, but what do we see in the very beginning when we open our Bible? In the very front of our Bible. Okay, He's the Creator. So that's where it starts. It says that in the beginning God made. And we see that idea throughout there. God said and it was so. So He is our Creator. He's our giver of life. And not just the life that we live here on this earth, but life eternal. Do you have a comment, Rob?
Yeah, you're talking about food. You know, we pray, you know, many times our prayers, we talk about, we pray God the Father.
Right.
And I know myself, I concentrate in saying, well, you know, there's three beings in the Godhead.
Okay.
And I don't know, when we pray, and sometimes I say God the Father, but we need to pray also to Jesus, and He's the Son of God. He's also got to pray the Holy Spirit. So, you know, I think as we think about it, you know, I don't know what... At least for me, I need to think, my own personal thing is to think about there's three beings, and they're all God.
Well, that's
part
a good
of Godhead, so. You know,
well, that's a good point, because even what John 1:1 says that Jesus was there in the beginning, and all that was created was through Him as well. So that is a good point, because, you know, the Godhead, all of this is we need to be thankful to. As mentioned, I think it was Steve's last class as far as the Holy Spirit. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't know of these things. Because as He guided the apostles and the prophets and the Word of God that we have. So it's a very good point. So we see this idea as a creator and not just the life that we live, but life eternal that we have through Christ. But take the idea as the Creator. What in, just in that itself, what does that say about God? Is there another term that you could use besides Creator? He's the author. And the reason why I say that is because it has to do with His authority or right to rule. So we need to keep that in mind. He has the right to rule. And we should want to worship God because of what He has done for us. And that's what worship has to do with. It has to do with His worthiness. And He is worthy of praise and our devotion. So, in connection with that, we say that, you know, He's worthy of praise and devotion. It's we've got to follow His law. So, do we have to obey? And the reason why I'm asked, I'm going somewhere with this. But
well, we have our own will.
We don't have to.
We don't have to.
Right, okay. So we don't have to. So, like you said, we do have our own will. Now, we can choose to follow His laws or choose not to. But there's that
consequence.
Okay, I think in class we looked at the idea of a parent and child relationship because most of us can relate to that. And, you know, we tell our children to do something. Now, just because they choose not to do it, doesn't mean that they didn't have to, okay? And there is or should be consequences to that. So we see that regardless if we follow His laws, They're still His laws. That doesn't change anything, okay? Just because we don't follow it doesn't change the law. And in connection with creation, I know we're familiar with Romans 1. We can look over there real quick. Just put this in here because, I mean, it's important for us to understand what God expects. I don't want to spend too much time on this because I know we already covered it in class. But in Romans 1:19, what does this tell us in Romans 1:19? What can we learn from that verse? Is there something, what key word is used in there? Evident? Okay, so that which is known about God is evident within them. And then it also says, for God made it evident to them. Okay? Now how did God make it evident? Verses 20, right. It says, for, since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. So, it's evident by what is seen, okay? Through what has been made. And it also goes on to say that it's without excuse. And then verse 21 says that, for even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. So it's the same idea. They knew God as far as the creation. You see that there's a Creator, but they did not honor Him or give thanks. And God expects us to honor Him. Okay, and He expects us to be thankful. So, moving on to our third point as far as that first section of class we had, the idea of how should we worship Him?
Study.
Okay. And that has something to do with studying, because if you're studying, What are you going to gain from that?
You're going to grow.
Okay. So,
knowledge
of His laws. Okay, so when we worship Him, it's going to have to be according to His laws. We can call it worship, but if we're not following what He asks, then He's not going to accept it as worship. Okay? So it's more than saying, I'm worshiping Him. Our actions are going to have to prove it by what we're doing. And so if we're claiming to worship God, our worship is going to have to show to be according to God's Word and to according to His will. One note I'd put on here is that we can't say that we're worshiping or proclaiming His worthiness and then decide how we're going to do that. And what I mean is we can't call it that and say, oh yeah, He's worthy. Yeah, I want to worship Him. So this is what I think how we should do that. He's already decided how we should do that. And we need to remember who's the one that's supposed to be being honored. And we need to follow His will on those things. So, in that same idea, if we understand that God expects something when He wants us to worship, that we should worship in a certain way, when He's specific, and we looked at some examples. When He's specific, what does He expect?
He expects us to follow it.
Okay, obedience expects us to do what he has said. So, yeah, I know God said to do this, but, you know, this is a better way. Where might that get us? Did we have examples? You know, does he really mean it? Does he really want us to do what he says?
As an ark.
Okay. We looked at the example of Uzzah. We also know with Nadab and Abihu. Yes, he means it. So, when he's specific about things, we need to be careful and do what he's asked. So, we saw this idea that we want to honor him and serve him. So, how are we to know how to do this in a manner that would please him? You kind of already answered that. Studying. Okay, so God's Word. It's not only is what we see evident of His existence by the creation, but we also have His revealed Word. And we're to understand it, and we have to do that by reading. And remember also that we know how Jesus has reasoned before from the Scripture, and that He has told others, you know, that you know, the idea, have you not read? He expects us to know and to reason from Scripture. So if we want to know His laws, we'll have to be students. We'll have to be students of His Word. Now, I don't know if you remember back when we were discussing prayer, we looked at some examples of the psalmist and how they prayed. Now, when we were looking at that, one of the ideas we saw was this idea of them pouring out their heart. What does that imply? What does praying show when we truly pray to God? Trust. Okay, trust in what?
It's power. Somebody who heard to hear you and will listen to you.
Yeah, faith that He'll answer.
Yes, sir. Okay, so we trust that He hears. And, you know, and we have so much to really be grateful for in connection with that.
Well, yeah, and the faith that He's going to answer our prayers. It may not be the answer we're looking for, right, but He's going to answer them.
Right. Right. It's good that He answers in His ways, because He's much more knowledgeable than we are. We think we're knowledgeable, but
just trust that He'll do what's best for us.
That's right, and that's evident in Jesus. When we think about what was done for us through Christ, you know, there's not really any way that we could question that our best interests aren't in view. Because when you truly think about deity coming to this earth and ultimately dying on the cross for us, that is an example of love. So we know that our best interests are being looked after. And so in anything that is done from God, that is, we can trust in that. And not only that He hears, but like what was being said, He does know best. Don brought up a good point as far as we might not agree with it. And maybe even sometimes we didn't really study this in class, but one thing I had thought about, and I'm sure it crossed most of our minds, we might have alluded to it, but this idea of when we pray to God, maybe understanding what the answer is. Because we know He hears. And we trust that He does answer, but it's in His way, and it's in His time. And maybe sometimes we're praying about something, and something's going on. We might not recognize it. Could be that might be our answer there. So I think maybe sometimes that's difficult understanding what that answer is. Or if we know what that answer is and maybe agreeing with it, we don't have to agree. So just keeping those things in mind. So we have reason to trust that he hears. One thing we had looked at in Matthew 6:8, that it says, your Father knows what you need before you ask. Okay? And also we've looked at this idea of drawing near with confidence to the throne of grace in Hebrews. So we know that he hears, that he answers in his way. So if we know God hears us and we trust in that, what should that cause us to do? What does how should that show in our life? I don't know if I phrased that very well. But what I have in mind is, so should that reflect in the way that we pray, in the amount that we pray? Because if we're truly trusting in prayer, truly trusting that he hears, then we can't just say, yeah, oh, I know he hears me. I know he answers in his way, but then I never pray. That doesn't show that I truly trust in that. So it's more than just saying that we trust in it and that we know that he hears. We're going to have to be people that pray. And we should want to be people that pray because of realizing his worthiness. It goes back to that first point. Okay? And we even see the idea of praying without ceasing. So, if we're not praying very much, does that reflect, or could that reflect on our belief or trust in prayer?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Because we need to keep in mind that this truly is speaking to God. And he's our creator. And we should want to, when you think about that relationship and think about this avenue we have through Christ, that we can speak to God. Now we should really want to do that. Just it's hard to really take in the depth of that. I mean, being able to speak to the Creator. Number one, things we did look at, of course, we need to be respectful and think about how we approach God. But to think of that very blessing right there, we can go to Him with our concerns. We can go to Him and should go to Him with thankfulness, because we have very much to be thankful for. If we don't think so, then we're not being very observant to what is around us and what we have. So we need to be very thankful. We need to thank God. We need to go to Him with concerns, because He gives us that avenue. And we should want to take advantage of that. Yes, sir?
You know, you've touched on this and all the things that you're observing here, but just, you know, I think about when I pray, how much God loves us, and that His worth and our unworthiness, and I say that accommodatively, of course, but that we, in our, and also again, lowness, we can coach God and talk to Him about our problems, the things that we do or don't do, and He'll listen to us. I mean, as you said, it's hard to fathom that. Sometimes I'm praying just to think about it. And here I am, and all the things, my weaknesses, that God will even listen to. And I know He will, because He's answered my prayers so many times. I pray on behalf of my brethren, He answers our prayers. It just think about it, and all the things that he's done, and you start enumerating, you start just contemplating the things that he's done and how he works in our world and how he continues to work. And if we don't do that, as you say, that's realized, like slapping God in the face. Not the approach of God that controls this world, that does what he does for all of mankind. That's really sad. You do not go to him, and I'm not, and I don't all the time. In fact, I beat myself up a lot about that. It's a sad thing. I mean, I think about that sometimes in the world in general, and I see why the world is at. Why we get the world right, and I say that about myself.
Okay.
We have an awesome day.
Greg, on the flip side of that, I don't know if anyone in here has ever seen anybody who's been through a difficult time in their life, and they don't have that faith, and they don't have that comfort of prayer. They don't know how to pray. They don't know how to have that faith, but they desperately need it.
Right.
And so I think we need to realize that an asset that we have is someone, first of all, taught us the truth, and we were willing to accept it. And then here we are, able to approach God. When there's people out there who desperately need it and want it, and they have no idea
how to
be respectful or how to have it safe without doubting.
That's a good point, because even not just limited to prayer, when you think right. about people in the world, I mean, if you don't have God and you don't have an understanding of these blessings, what is life really? You know, there's so much to be thankful for, and if they're not at that understanding, then they're not thankful for these things. They don't know to be thankful for these things. So when you think about that and think about the position that we were in, and I mean, yeah, we should be very grateful that there was someone in our life that helped us to know the truth. And, you know, that's a real good blessing. And praying for these things, and, well, just the avenue itself, being able to pray to God about the things going on in our life. Because those that don't have that avenue, yeah, it's how do they cope with it? You know, that's one of the things we looked at when in connection with prayer, because prayer was designed for us for a reason, and that helps with some of those very things right there. You know, because we know that God hears, and we know there's someone that we can talk to, someone that can do something about it. He has no limitations as far as his ability. And, you know, to be able to trust in that, it's a great thing. So when we talked about prayer, we went into different kinds of prayer. We looked at the idea of petition. We looked at confession. We looked at praise, thanks, complaint, and also imprecatory prayer were these different types of prayer that we looked at. Now, in the first type of prayer, that was a petition. So, what is this? What's the meaning of this type of prayer? What does it mean to petition?
Ask.
Okay. So, petition is to ask. You know, when we were looking at that, we looked at the example of Hannah. Did Hannah believe in petition?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, she did. So we can see from her example the power of prayer if we trust in it. So she went to God about not being able to have children. At that time, and this kind of goes into, I think, what you're talking about, Lisa, at this time, what was her state when she was... Okay.
She was depressed.
hopeless or in depression. And yeah, she just, you know, didn't know what to do. Well, she knew what to do. Depression. So when we looked at the different verses, we saw this idea of how it described her being depressed. Yet after praying, even before God had answered, even before God had answered this prayer, we saw this idea of a change as far as her sadness. It showed that she was no longer sad. And that had to do with her trust. Her trust and belief in God, that He was able, that He, number one, heard her, and that He was able to do something about it. So we must be a people that trust and believe. Are there any comments on petition? Yes, sir.
Well, I'm a petitioner.
Or prayer in general?
I think as you're starting this area out, talking about us versus God, God knows what's good for us. There's a couple of things you can start, road folks, you can see. One is God cares for us. How do you know that? Because Christ came. So here it is, before we're ever conceived, we don't exist. So who cares? The day we're born, we're now eternal. Whatever happens from that point forward, ultimately we got an eternity we're going to be faced with. And we're going to sin. And that eternity is very dark. God knew that. God provided a way out of it. So we have, no matter what else happens between the point in time we're born and the point in time we die, whenever that is, no matter what good or bad happens in between as far as the things of life, sort of fatalism, whatever happens in life, we can't lose sight of the fact that come the day we die or Christ comes, one or the other. There's an eternity that faces us that God has taken care of, will take advantage of it. So, between the point in time we're born and the point in time we die, we can have all kinds of things happen in our lives. Some of our own making, some not. Now, when we pray, we expect God to hear us. He does. In fact, He knows what we're thinking before we say it. And we often say, and I've said it, God will answer our prayer. And the answer may be, God, frankly, doesn't do what we ask. But we don't lose sight of the fact that God is in control, and out beyond our death is an eternity if we'll be faithful. And that's what you always have to hang your hat on. Paul prayed to God for something that was bugging him, the thorn in the flesh. It was not, his prayer was not answered with cure.
Right.
We have, men and women go through all kinds of tribulations. You see Paul's an example of all the things he went through on Christ's behalf, not of his own making. But his faith held because he looked beyond this life to what's in the next life. We're going to have trials and tribulations, some more than others. And the question is, when we're in the middle of those and we don't get the answer that we pray for, does that mean God is trying to punish us? That God has failed? No. Just don't lose sight of the fact that there's a time coming. God has already proved that He cares about us. So when that time comes and we die, we've been faithful, there's eternity waits for us. Eternity of life. If we fail in the true trials we have, and our faith leaves us, there's a different eternity waiting for us. So, people can get depressed praying. Or that is to say, they can pray, and what they pray for does not come about. And they don't achieve that peace.
in this life. And they become depressed. They lose their faith. So you know they pray. You know we pray. We've got to be careful that we don't let that expectation or the failure to get what we want cause us to lose our faith. Because God's already proven in the ultimate sense through Christ's death how He cares for us, going to take care of us. And this life may be, you know, there's one other thing I know in this life, and that is my needs will be met.
Right.
I'm not going to starve. I'm not going to be, you know, left out in the rain in order to cover me. I know that because God's promised that. Well, there's a lot of other things in life He has promised me. There's no way of saying that life's not a road. Life's not a rose garden. Something like that. Bed of roses. Yeah, I have problems. We all have problems. Some of us more than others. Don't lose your faith over the fact that which you, the peace you look for, the relief you look for, doesn't come immediately.
Right. So, good point.
You know, we ought to be optimistic people. I don't want to be a bunch of, I'm trying to say, well, I'll be a bunch of pessimists. But that's another one of those things. Once you're unloaded on God, let God take care of it.
Yeah.
And just recognize that it doesn't come out the way you hope it would. Wanted to, based on your narrow view, that's not to say God hasn't heard you, and He's got a greater plan in view.
Yeah, that's true. Are there any other thoughts or comments? We're about to get buzzed, I think. So thank you all for your comments. And in our next class, we'll continue review, and that'll be the end of the